Intro song.
Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Yes, Al, I am. the Sharks have lost themselves four games in a row. Their fourth one coming to the worst team, not in the Pacific Division, not only in the Pacific, but also in the Western Conference and damn near in the entire NHL. This is Teal Town USA After Dark, everybody. How you doing? We go live after every single Sharks game here on the YouTube. You can tell we're a little upset. I'm AJ, by the way, and joining me tonight is Al Martine.
Heyo. Yeah, little late night therapy for Sharks fans, but this sucks.
Oh my God, does this suck on so many levels. Okay. I can't even. Okay, so let's get into the opening stats. All right. So we know EK65 missing his 10th straight game. The Sharks have gotten used to playing without him, no biggie. But we all knew that after Pavs got injured versus Nashville, we weren't sure if he was going to go or not. But, of course, PDB ruled him out. Hell, PDB ruled him out after the last game. And even though Pavelski did take morning skate this morning, he was ruled out. And bizarrely enough, just before game time, Couture evidently has flu-like symptoms. So you're missing EK65, Pavelski, and Couture. Boy, I mean, if it wasn't for all these injuries, Donskoy's got to be thanking his lucky stars, right? Coach Willie D opting to scratch Dion Phaneuf and Kovalchuk and rolling 7D tonight to give a look to the younger guys because LA has no hope in hell of making the playoffs this season. So that evidently worked into Willie D's favor today. Yeah. And there you go. I was actually a little shocked that Quick got the start because Quick has not played well as of late. Coming into this, LA had won one of their last seven, two of their last 16, which of course does not make this loss sting any less.
Yeah, now their series is 2-2 this year. And frankly, this is the worst team compared to the Ducks. You know, this is by far the worst team of in the NHL. I don't know how you think about it, but it's definitely four in a row, sneaking at home. Injuries abound, but at least the good thing is that it actually happened in March, not in April, when playoffs actually kick off.
Hey now. Like, let's get everybody healthy and figure this out. And see, the other thing being too is that the option, the that brass ring in the Pacific Division is just float on because, I mean, Calgary keeps doing what they need to do, and the Sharks just haven't been able to keep up. I believe now 5 points behind, and with eight games left,
seven.
Is it now seven?
It's either five tonight or seven. But Calgary has still had four games with Kings, Ducks, and twice. So, and they also play Edmonton last. So
that idea of them playing like Tampa Bay five games in a row is just a no.
So frankly, I kind of always proposed the idea of the Sharks resting players down the stretch because I didn't think the idea of getting the first place meant much.
Oh, it means a lot, but evidently that's just going right out the window. I mean, even PDB said as much, is that he was just going to ride Jones as long as playoffs meant something. Well, now with Vegas just five behind and Calgary extending their lead, boy, oh boy, now it's not even a case of trying to win the Pacific Division. It's trying to get home ice in the first round, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get into this one. 519 of the first, Brown, Welker, and Kempe. Well, I mean,
yeah.
Like, that's the one guy you're going to let a goal in from?
look, the shots were 7-15 Kings. And frankly, this could have been 2-0, 3-0 for the Kings, because the Sharks didn't really come off to in a fast start anyway. So you kind of have to respect Jones in that regard in the first two periods. We can talk later about the third period, because there were kind of goals that maybe didn't he could have gotten, but bad bounces. But Jones had a solid first period, 15 saves. That's really good. And Ron Burgundy was in the house, so I don't know if there was something to do with that.
I will say one of the funniest parts about that, for those of you who aren't aware, if you listen to the LA Kings feed tonight, they had Will Ferrell as Ron Burgundy doing his, doing his Ron Burgundy shtick. I don't even know what this is about. Like, is there an anchor coming out or something?
There's no anchor man, and I'm assuming he's just, he does this time and time again if there's a sports tie into something, but there's no movie. So I think it's cool that he's just doing it with hockey, which, you know, there's not a lot of personalities that go to hockey. Like, just, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, during the second period, if you were listening to the LA Kings feed or watching, I should say, the LA Kings feed on TV, they actually did a picture-in-picture shot where they had Will Ferrell, you know, talking about the game while they've got the game going on in the big picture. And it was kind of funny because there was at one point Will Ferrell going, you know, shoot. They don't have the puck. Never mind. You know, so yeah. I was like,
I will say this, though, that it didn't really seem like he prepped for there was one point in the broadcast where one of the announcers, I don't know the LA Kings announcers, but they said something like the Sharks have never won a cup, and Will just kept on referring to that line over and over again.
We get it. I think it's also really bizarre that in like 50 something years, the Kings have only won the Pacific Division one time. Very odd to me.
Fact check that, because I don't think that's right.
It doesn't sound right, but that's what Randy Hahn talked about tonight with Jamie Baker,
because they never won a Pacific Division with Wayne Gretzky.
I'm just saying. Anyway, for those of you who like to fact check, you can do that in the chat. Likey a Tiger, the Kiss Cam Burrito. Or yeah, for the burrito kiss, that was also really awesome. Anyway, getting back into the first period. So, like I said, Brown scores 5:19 in, and it would take the Sharks another minute after that before they got their first shot on goal. Hi-yo. And a little bit later, 17:33, Vlasic or Goodrow, depending on who you speak with, the Sharks would tie this one up. And you think, okay, you know, the Sharks, whatever excuse you want to use. All right, the Sharks have tied this up. They figured it out. They're going to get their act together. We move on. Then at 18:47, you get Dillon and Wagner both slashing, both going at each other. Now, remember, Wagner has a little history with the Sharks. If you go back to – I'm trying to remember. Do you remember what it was with Wagner? I remember specifically that there was – I remember the name Wagner. I just can't remember what the issue was, but I remember there was something early on. It wasn't in like the second game of the season.
I believe that was the player that Erik Karlsson hit, and that sounds right to me.
Yes, that was it. Yeah, that was the player that Karlsson got suspended for.
Yeah.
Okay.
But largely, he's been a footnote. Yeah, he's been a player you forget this season. So
yeah, it's just that's yeah, no, thank you so much for that, because I knew it was driving me mad. I'm going, why do I know this asshole's name? So
he cost us two games out of the 25 he's played this season,
right? So after the first period, faceoffs 50-50, but shots on goal, LA 15, San Jose only 7. Again, you would think that the Sharks would have, like, look, you've just lost 3 straight at home. You're facing the worst team in the West. You would think that – I don't care that Karlsson and Couture and Pavelski are not in this lineup. You would think guys, especially guys that are getting the call, like Radil, are going to be out there and throwing the body and trying to, like, kick ass and take names. And it wasn't a whole lot of that.
And that was 3 lopsided defeats. at least two out of three lopsided defeats.
Well, 2-4-2, and then the 7-3 just shit show versus Vegas.
Yes. Let's not get into that. Yeah. But frankly, like players like Nyquist, seems like there's not a lot of been a big return with him lately.
And maybe that's the fact that he's hasn't been able to find a consistent line partners yet.
That's BS. Like if your talent's good enough, you're going to impact the rest of the line. And
yeah, but how long did it take EK65 to find a rhythm? And that dude's got talent coming out of the wazoo.
Yeah, and how long did it take him to get re-injured his groin? So,
well, that has nothing to do with his talent.
I know. I'm just
All right. Yeah. 3:45 of the second, Hurdle on a ridiculously beautiful back pass from Burns, like no look back pass off to the right, just dropped it perfectly for Hurdle, bangs it home. Burns would tie his single season franchise record, 76 points. So if homeboy doesn't hit 80, you know, with like eight games left, there's something wrong there. And that's the other thing that I'm really bummed out about too, with Pavelski, is like, I was really hoping that he was going to hit 40, but that's the way that would go. So the Sharks would take the 2-1 lead. And at that point, I think Sharks fans for the most part probably calmed down. They go, okay, now we're talking. Let's just, you know, pile on here and maybe try to win this one 4-1, get the hell out of Dodge, go to Anaheim tomorrow and finish everything off. But lo and behold, no, we go a little bit further. Oh, go ahead.
At least it wasn't 3-1.
Oh, damn. Okay, I'll give you one. Oh, man. Ouch. 16:31, Carter would interfere with Timu. That's right. Timu Meier, who was fined today by the NHL for $2,000 for diving in the, embellishment versus Nashville, which if you go back and look at the video, that's one of the stupidest calls I've ever, like, Yossi shouldn't have got called there. Meier shouldn't have got called there. It was all a bunch of horseshit. But anyway, 16:31, Carter interferes with Timu. Nothing becomes of it for the Sharks because their power play has, you know, taken a dump, evidently. You know, they went on a stretch of 8 for 23 chances. After that, they were 1 for 17, then 2 for 18, and after tonight, 2 for 20. 10% on the power play, not going to do you that much good, Al.
Consistency, the Sharks' motto, right?
Consistency and inconsistency, yes. The faceoffs would fall down, the Sharks going from 50% to 42%, although at this point, at the end of two, at least the shots balanced out at 11 apiece. However, Evander Kane did go off the ice a scotch early out of the second period, but nothing was really explained about that.
I thought that was Timu and his skate, or was that second period?
No, I just know Kane went off a hair early.
All right.
He was off to the room. So going into the third, we've got Brent Burns with a turnover. Ryan is unable to deal with Brown in front of the net, which screens Jones and Matty Roy, whatever. No, it's Roy. Matty Roy. Of course, it wouldn't be a Sharks game unless they give up a goal a guy his very first NHL goal.
Congrats. You picked the right team to do it.
Right. It's like, if that's when it was going to come, it was going to come against these guys.
But I will say this for the next two goals. I didn't even think that Jones was to blame on both of them. I thought the first goal in the third period, there was two Sharks deflections that managed to find it in the back of the net. I mean, for a goaltender, maybe he could have made a better positioning, but you're already kind of dead set on that shot. So
I do think there were two goals that Jones should have had tonight. But and let's get to one of them. That would be at 11:45, just barely over 2 minutes after Roy's first goal. Anze Kopitar would sneak in behind the defense. I don't know what the hell was going on there. I can't believe nobody picked up. I mean, literally, Anze Kopitar arguably the best forward on the Kings, and nobody picks him up. He sneaks in, goes in basically, you know, with no one around him, puts it behind Jones. That's one that I would have liked to have seen Jones get, but Kopitar deked him really well.
You know, the problem is that the Sharks are just making not the simple plays. They're making the, you know, the fancy cross-ice passes that are becoming really bad habits at the moment. And
it's the that's the whole thing. It's the cross-ice passes. When they're playing north-south, they're fine. Did you see that pass that Burns laid out for Timo on that breakaway?
Yeah.
That was insane.
But that happened like one time. But I wonder how many turnovers they had today, which was how many. They had 12 turnovers, which seems they're just like their season average, but if that's kind of high for the league.
Well,
just the point is that they should have got the puck out of their zone. And Kopitar was lucky. He was absolutely lucky to be in that part of the zone.
Yes. I see on the chat, Kayla, cheer us up. Kayla wants nothing to do with your horseshit right now. She's pissed off. So after Kopitar give the Kings the lead, we go a little bit further into the game. And at 16:58, Martinez takes a delay of game penalty for putting the puck out of play.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the call. I'm fine with that. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like you love it when it's against the other team and you hate it when it's against yours. But after about a minute into that power play, Martin Jones would get pulled. And then about 5 seconds later, Jeff Carter would get the empty netter. And that was pretty much all she wrote, guys. Let's
good
go to
for the, you.
Yeah, let's go. I got it for you. I got it for you. Where is it? I got it.
Oh, good for you.
So let's hit the numbers here real fast. Shots on goal for the Kings, 35. Sharks, 25. Faceoffs ended up being 64% for the Kings. The one thing I guess you got to kind of give to the Sharks, it's like if you really look hard for that silver lining, is they did not take a penalty tonight. I guess that's – well, wait a minute. Hold. Oh, no. Brendan Dillon – oh, okay, yeah. So the Kings never got a power play. Yeah. Brett Dillon and what's-his-face, they went off for slashing minors at the same time. So but good also, to them.
But also 36% in the circle, that's horrendously bad.
Yeah.
Especially against the Kings with, you know, Joe Thornton. I was going to say Pavelski, but you have Hurdle still. You have Couture. You still have three solid centers.
What do you mean three solid centers tonight? Who?
I mean, if you're going to put Hurdle, usually you've seen him on the center line. Joe Thornton.
If everybody's healthy, sure. But yeah, with that, you have, I mean, you had Kane playing at center, which he hasn't played since, you know, in probably 13 years, 14 years. So, I mean, obviously Couture being a very late scratch. What are you going to do? It didn't help things. I still look at this as the fact that the Kings blocked 18 shots. The Sharks blocked 4. You're not helping out your goalie when those are the numbers. Mm-hmm. And if you let's get to ice time here. And of course, dragging hind tit, Michael Haley, not even scraping 10 minutes, sitting at 9:48. Radil barely ahead of him at 10:12. So a lot of, and again, this is one of those things that you expect that when you're behind the, oh, John, thank you very much for, we got to get a call up for Kayla. Thank you, John. That's very cool.
And Kayla pops up.
Yes. Where was I? Oh yeah. Ice time. And so this is to be expected when you're down, your big names are going to get more minutes because you're trying to tie the score or whatever. Although, I mean, the Kings didn't take, when did they, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, they didn't take the lead until halfway through the third.
It was so, like a 7-minute mark, I believe. So they still
11:45 is when Kopitar took the, Roy tied it at 9:28. Kopitar took the lead at 11:45.
Okay.
And I'm a little surprised that Burns only 23:30 tonight. I mean, he's been relying on him so much. I'm surprised Joakim Ryan got almost 20 minutes tonight.
And Heed with only 16, who I thought has been a little bit more consistent with over the year.
You know what, though? I look at that. The thing that drives that makes me a little maddening about this is I would really like to, and rather than seeing Vlasic and Heed together and Braun and Dylan, I would really like to see Heed and Dylan together, because Dylan played really well with Carlson. I'm in no way saying that Heed is a comparable replacement for Carlson.
No,
but they play a similar style, and Vlasic and Braun have history. So I'm just saying, oh my Lord, what is going on with Laurel? What is she doing? Oh dear Lord,
it's a good Laurel move.
It's good. I was told that there was something to share with you, and I'm looking and I don't see it. So anyway, we move on. Thanks, Puck Guy. Good looking out. So get it again. I'm still a little surprised that Quick went tonight, but whatever. Martin Jones, despite what happened, had a 912 save percentage. Yay. at some point, no, so this is game 74. And it seems to be that there's let me see. Last time they were together was when everybody was saying Heed was a bum and should be waived. Well, everybody says a lot of things, but Dylan and Heed haven't shown great chemistry in the past. Well, that's fine, but it's not like Vlasic is showing great chemistry with anybody other than Braun. I mean, the whole thing of like Dylan and Vlasic and Heed and Braun or whatever the matchups are, those aren't necessarily working either.
Which is probably become a liability, because if he doesn't have, if he can't play well with the other seven defensemen, I don't know. But, even on the three game homestand, the Sharks transition defense was just bad in all levels. It's
abominable.
But, and I know Jones has the worst 5v5 save percentage this league. I just don't think he's been playing that bad. Timo has been picking up on his right man on breaks. A lot of that is like Simic, having his ACL, MCL going off.
I like that you bring this up, because Eric doesn't know what he's doing right now. I like that you bring this up because you've seen so many people. There's this kind of pro Jones fashion that is saying, well, you look at the amount of wins he has, and then you look at I don't want to say anti Jones, but you look at the other Jones faction out there that are very much saying, look at the amount. It's basically the eye test. It's look at the amount of soft goals he is letting in. If it, you, like literally, there are probably seven games that you could go back to that the Sharks lost because Jones gave up a couple softies. And if Jones doesn't give those up, the Sharks are easily in first right now. And they might even have a little bit of a cushion.
I guess. I know the first month of the year was pretty rough, but,
Their travel schedule wasn't the easiest either.
It wasn't the easiest, but also when I look at Dell, he hasn't really started against top tier competition. Usually starts against Arizona, or even like I think his best game was almost a year ago now when he was playing a injured Pittsburgh Penguins squad without Sidney Crosby. So
I'm in no way saying that Dell is the answer. It's weird. I think there's like we have these like two factions. There's the Jones sucks faction, like where is the guy from 2016, and then there's the other faction that is just like, I can't believe we are gonna be stuck with this guy for another five goddamn years because he sucks now. And it's like probably the answer lies somewhere in the middle, and we're all going to see what happens in the playoffs. Is he going to, you know, expand his game? Is he going to step up and be the guy that we're used to seeing in the playoffs that is far more sound than is what he than what he's doing? Or are we going to see the guy that just got pulled versus Vegas a couple days ago? And let's be honest, chances are, like, you know, after what happened tonight, after this four-game stretch, Calgary is rolling. Vegas has lost one out of their last 10 games.
Yes.
Chances are incredibly high. I'm going to put it at like, 98% that the Sharks are going to face Vegas in the first round. Martin Jones has been pulled in five games out of 12 versus Vegas. What Martin Jones are we going to see? And you know that if Vegas ends up just railroading the Sharks in the first round, like five games, dude, everybody's going to fall on Jones.
So last game, do you put the loss on Jones? Because
no,
you know, there was that fluky bounce with Couture and his stick.
Well, what do you mean that fluky bounce, dude? They scored seven goals. I would say four of them were incredibly fluky.
I'm just saying the first 3 minutes or the first period alone, there were three or four goals that had little bounces. And
oh, they were ridiculous. That first goal doesn't go in if Couture doesn't hit it.
Yeah.
There's another one that the puck bounced off Vlasic's skate really awkwardly. And then there was another one that literally there were seven goals that went in. And I don't know that more than three of them were clean off of a Vegas stick. Like they all bounced off a Shark somehow.
And that's what this March has kind of been.
No, not the beginning of it. They won six straight.
Six straight, but towards the end when they started facing tougher competition, Nashville.
You don't think Colorado's decent competition?
Not really. Not with that goaltender.
St. Louis? Another team that's fighting Winnipeg, Minnesota. These are all teams that are in it.
That was almost 2 weeks ago.
But you were saying, this month, and I'm telling you, dude, they won six in a row. Okay, Colorado, dude, they're a wild card team right now as we speak. Chicago, yeah, okay, fine, I'll give you that. Montreal, they're in the thick of things.
Yeah,
St. Louis. They're third in the Central right now. Then you got Minnesota, who's at the time were in the wild card spot. They're a couple spots out now, but they were at the time. You got Florida, not the best team, but not horrible. You know, they're not Ottawa. But then Nashville, good team, second in their division. Or I'm sorry, I completely glossed over Winnipeg. They beat Winnipeg. They're number one in the Central. So, I mean, they've beaten some good teams, and that's one of the things that I think is so maddening is that you went on this great run of winning five straight, and then you drop, a game that you should be up for. Like, I could get, dropping the Florida game because you're looking towards Nashville. You're looking towards Vegas. Now, I also throw into that Florida loss is the fact that was their, third and four nights, four and six nights. They had to deal with the time change. They were just coming off a two-game road trip. Like, and Florida had sat there for a little bit. So yeah. I can forgive you for that. And maybe looking forward to going, Florida, not the biggest deal if we drop to those assholes. If we give them 2 points, big deal. But Nashville and Vegas, damn. And now dropping to a team that doesn't even matter right now. If they don't beat Anaheim tomorrow, and who knows if we get Couture and Pavelski back tomorrow?
Chances are no. If Couture has flu-like symptoms, if they're legit, he'll be back on Monday.
Yeah, and Pavelski, I wouldn't want to push whatever's ailing him. Even though Paul Gackle tweeted out some video today of Pavelski taking part in the morning skate. While he was out there, he didn't look comfortable.
Injury. Yeah.
Yeah. He was, he definitely wasn't exerting himself by any stretch.
Was he officially diagnosed with something like a concussion or?
No, it was definitely, there's something leg related when he went into the boards.
The big worry when he came down was that his knee was, or his knee was on top of his leg. And so that was, you're thinking,
yeah, it's something leg related.
Something leg, and he hasn't had the much, I don't know.
Oh. Okay, well, Puck Guy for some reason has seemed to have popped on.
I'm trying to hear him.
But
you can't hear me at all?
You know, we let's be honest, we all tune him out anyway. So anyway, that's the way it stands now. You know, you're gonna face you face the worst team in the NHL. Oh, see you later, Puck Guy.
What was that? What was that?
No idea what the hell that was. So you face
there's our Where's Waldo.
Yeah. You face the worst team in your conference, you lose 4-2. I mean, you didn't even look decent. And now you're going to face the second to worst team. Now, again, I go back to LA's schedule. 1 win in their last 7, 2 in their last 16. Tomorrow you're facing Anaheim, who's actually not bad. I think they're like 6-4 over their last 10 and have like beaten a couple decent teams. And Anaheim always plays the Sharks tough, especially at Honda Center. So, I mean, well, okay, last year's playoffs notwithstanding. But, thank you. Yeah.
I'm like, what? Yeah.
But okay, regular season. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But I mean, like, where are we going to go here? But let's get into that real quick here and see where we're at. So, I mean, Calgary is pretty much, you know, with now, and there's okay, Puck Guy. Really, dude? Like, he tells me, hey, I've got a graphic. Let's go use this graphic. None of these teams have only 10 games remaining, dude. They're less. The Sharks literally played game 74 tonight, bro. So they have 8 games left. I don't know what Puck Guy. Okay. I think I'm gonna throw this graphic out the window.
That's been that type of night.
Yeah.
But regardless, I think Calgary with 4 games with LA and both the Ducks, just
that's. And Calgary's getting it done.
They are getting it done, but they're also they have one of the easiest final schedules compared to the Sharks.
Well, no, yes and no. If you go back and look, the Sharks. I'm trying to think when I ran the numbers. I ran the numbers between the Sharks and Calgary, maybe like mid January. I think it was like right before the All-Star break, and I ran the numbers and said, you know, like looked at the teams that Calgary had remaining, looked at the team San Jose had remaining, worked out the winning percentages of all the teams that they were facing. And it was like literally the winning percentage cumulative of all the teams that San Jose was going to face was like 51.2. And Calgary's was 51.6. I mean, that's how close it was. And there were a couple key matchups, and one, you know, one of course for the Sharks was Winnipeg, and they won that game that they had to, the first one out of the All-Star break. Like, they won a couple key games.
Yeah.
Now it doesn't help you when you drop a freaking, you know, when you shit the bed versus LA.
So the final 4 games for Calgary is the Sharks, Kings, Ducks, Edmonton.
Jesus Christ. Okay, that's a bit of a cakewalk. Now, granted, though, the Sharks also have Vancouver and Edmonton.
But then Colorado.
It's sandwiched between Vegas, Calgary, and Colorado. Yeah.
So I feel like no matter what, I think they're a pretty good position to get first place in the Pacific, which is going down the stretch. I wonder if they're probably going to rest and play Dell a bit more.
Why? Like, what's the point? Is Jones going to get better with rest? I don't see it. I think it's, you know what? Just throw Jones out there and say, dude, you got 5 games to get your shit together. I mean, Jesus, what else can we do at this point?
I'm just going to look up. This starts.
Yeah. While you do that, I want to thank the 50 of you watching. I know that Brody and Curtis are off the air, so I want to welcome everybody in here to Teal Town USA After Dark. We go live after every single Sharks game. Do us a favor, hit the button I forget where they put it. I know it's in one of these corners, but if you could hit that red button that says subscribe, we would certainly appreciate that. We are we're on subscriber drive right now. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're also on Facebook, although I'm not really sure why anymore. Why is anybody on Facebook? But anyway, we're there on all those platforms at Teal Town USA. So if you give us a like or a follow, we would absolutely appreciate that. Al?
So Jones played 60 games last year. And this season, he's played 56.
What was his save percentage in goals against last year?
It was last year, 915. This year, 898.
And that's the point that I'm making. And
2016, he was 912.
Yeah, but see, and when I talked to Drew Remenda, his thing was the sweet spot, 918, 920. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to be.
In defense of Jones, though, the goalie pegs have shrink a little bit. And so,
and he's had 74 games to get used to that.
I completely agree with you on that. It's just, you've seen across the league, scoring is up.
It is, but it didn't. Who was I hearing about earlier today? That had a crappy year last year, and they're playing really well. Was it Carey Price?
I think that's true. Are you talking about the other goaltender?
No, I think it was Carey Price. I know that there was some goalie that I remember hearing about on NHL Network. They were specifically saying that there was one guy who, he's having a bounce back year in goal. And so I hear something like that, and I'm going, well, maybe the smaller pads thing bullshit.
I want to say it's the Boston goaltender, and that sounds right to me. Tuukka, yeah.
Ooh, I don't know about that. Maybe. Is Pekka Rene having a bounce back this season? He seems to be playing, well, I don't know.
It's been a non-noticeable year. Oh, I think it's Ben Bishop that you're talking about for the Dallas Stars. 932.
Lacey's saying I'm thinking of Robin Lehner. That could be right. Carey Price is too because he's healthy. Yeah, okay. That could be it too. But, as far as I know, Martin Jones has been healthy all season. So I'm just saying.
Has he?
Yeah, no. Lacey's saying the sweet spot was 918 to 920. Now it's 915. Okay, that's great. What's Martin Jones at again? Sub 900.
Yes.
And people are going to be banging down this door until we see some consistency. And that's the whole thing. You look at that game versus Minnesota where he shut out Minnesota for the second time this season at XL. What did he do the following game?
So the league average is 910.
And he's at 8 something or other. He's bottom, both him and Dell holding up the totem pole right now. That's not where you want to be going into the playoffs, kids. I'm just saying. Just saying. So I think we're probably done here. We'll Buckeye. Be back. Yeah, Buckeye, you poor bastard. Hopefully he's watching. But that's the way this one's going to shake out, guys. I don't want to keep you for too long because Lord knows it's Thursday night. Some of you may have to drive down to Anaheim right now to go see tomorrow's game. And if we're on your drive with you, if you're enjoying us on your drive down I-5, hey, thanks for hanging out with us. I can't. I hope Pavelski comes back tomorrow. I don't know that he will. I don't think that he will. And I don't know that I would push it at this point. I really feel like your standings are, or your playoff matchups are fait accompli. Now it just comes down to, okay, you're going to face Vegas. Do you want to see him at home or do you want to see him away? I don't have a problem being the away team. I actually kind of prefer that, to be honest, because it's like you get those first two in the opposition's barn, and it's the whole idea of, like, if you can just take one of those, you come back, you've already taken away home ice.
I mean, that's what happened last year with Vegas, but
here's the other thing too that I think is going to rack my brain a little bit is, how does this affect Erik Karlsson? And when I say that, I mean, you came into this season when the Sharks signed Erik Karlsson. It was all of a sudden it was just like, okay, and the Sharks have just pole vaulted to the top of the West. They're one of the favorites. They're top four, you know, favorite category, blah, blah, blah. And when I talked to Drew Remenda last December, I asked him, what do you think the chances are of signing Carlson, you know, re-signing him? And obviously we know he wants that 8-year, that term. And Remenda said 98%. I think the Sharks re-sign him. I got to tell you, I think it's about 5% that the Sharks re-sign him. And I don't know that that has anything to do with his injuries. I don't know that that has anything to do with how well the Sharks do. I just, when you bring in a guy that calls the last place that he played his forever home, I can't get too excited about re-signing the guy.
I mean, even if Erik Karlsson was played 60 games like Brent Burns, you have contract years for Pavelski, Timo, LeBanc. Like
Thornton?
Thornton will...
I mean, if Thornton will sign for the minimum, that's fine. But yeah, it comes down really to Pavelski and Karlsson. Who expected Pavelski to have this kind of a season? Nobody.
Contract year.
The contract year, but at his age, what is he? 34? So... At his, it's a contract here, but we have to take into account that, you know, look, he was playing with like what, a broken wrist or there was something wrong with his hand. His hand was jacked up for like the first half of the season last year. This year he comes in completely healthy. He's working on tip drills constantly with Burns. He's such a smart hockey player. He might not be the fleetest of foot, but he is very much bought into that Gretzky style of, don't go where the puck was, go where the puck is going to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, Pavelski has just, you can't say enough good things about him. Now, Doug Wilson has also had an amazing proclivity for getting guys to maybe take a little less to buy into what they're trying to put together. But I have to be honest, to me, this season, when you look at it on paper, it's Pavelski, Couture, I mean, Hurdle having the best season he has ever had. I mean, he is literally the one guy that has totally exceeded expectations along with Pavelski.
For Hurdle, though, I'm impressed that he's actually not been injured. He's actually been consistent. That's the thing.
Not been injured, been incredibly consistent, and you take into account, too, that halfway through the season, he changed positions, and that made the Sharks deeper. So
he's played center before.
He's played center before, but he hasn't had success at it. You know, everybody had him penciled in as a winger. So to see the success that he has had after like three stints at center that did not go that great, it is amazing to see Hurdle exceed those expectations huge. Dylan exceeded my expectations, specifically when he was paired with Karlsson. But
I mean, Dylan has been the most consistent or one of the most consistent Sharks defense from the past 2 years. So, yes. and I'm not Rocket Banhater saying that.
Yeah. You know, and then Burns I don't know that he's exceeded. I mean, I think you can say that a little bit when you're talking about that he's literally a few games away from like tying a record that hasn't been seen in 25 years. So, you know, that to me is exceeding expectations. There's a few guys here that have definitely exceeded. But you get to, and even remember the stretch that, dude, Timo Meier and Evander Kane started the first 20 games of the season like on fire, dude. They were killing it for a while.
I mean, that was a killer second or third line. So,
oh, dude, it was amazing. But then you go into this offseason, it's like, you think Donskoy's getting re-signed? No, not when you see guys like Sasha Shemilevsky killing it. Who was it? Blichfeld, like, killed it. He just got like a big award. You've got some pieces.
In defense of Donskoy, it wouldn't surprise me if he takes a 1-year contract and then comes back with the Sharks. He's
offered a 1-year contract.
He will. I have a feeling he will be back on the league minimum next year.
We'll see. That you know what? Place your bets in the chat right now, people.
I will say this. After the 3-2 goal, I felt that this was a first round and bust team. And that was the first time I felt that. And that was not a great feeling.
It's not a great feeling. And especially if you have the hope that Erik Karlsson is going to re-sign with this team. I don't see it happening. I don't know what it is. I feel like he's a guy who is just looking for the bigger, better deal. Doesn't really care where he plays. If somebody's going to give him the most money and the most term, that's where he's going. I don't feel like Erik Karlsson feels a speck of loyalty. This is not me trying to be call anybody out specifically, but I've literally seen the guy walk out of practice, the back of Solar for America, and there are like three kids and like two adults. That's it. Hardly anybody, but three of them are kids, and one of them is literally holding his little tiny, it's so cute, his little tiny Karlsson jersey. And the kids go, oh my God, Erik, can you sign my jersey? Sorry guys, not today. And he's walking out flip flops and shorts. What the hell has he got to do? He can't take 30 goddamn seconds out of his day to sign a kid's jersey. I see that and I just go, you know what? This is not a guy who gives a shit about this area, to be honest.
I agree with you on that, but at the same time, having 8-year deals for both Vlasic, Burns, and Karlsson, I don't think that's the best way to build out your team that way.
I don't think it is either. But then again, that's exactly though. Where did this Doug Wilson come from? Remember, like a couple of years ago, Doug Wilson would never hand out anything longer than 5 years, and all of a sudden now, Vlasic 7, Burns 8, Couture 7, and Kane 7, and this guy's.
A lot of that though was, I think, owner driven because they wanted to push the players into getting an easier CBA done. So if they attract the top talent to getting 8-year deals, there wouldn't be any bargaining or much leverage that they would have gotten. So yes, 8-year deal sounds pretty insane, but when you look at a CBA that's coming up next year, kind of makes more sense.
Yeah. And I see somebody, I missed it in the chat. Oh, Steve saying I would rip up the jersey and throw it at him. I wouldn't even rip it up. I wouldn't even bother ripping it up. Like, seriously. Like, it makes me want to go out and get a Fanatics, one of those crappy Fanatics jerseys.
AJ, are you drunk?
No, I'm not drunk. I just think Fanatics sucks. but it makes me want to grab like a cheapy Fanatics jersey. Well, let's be honest. They're all, anything Fanatics is cheapy, but get one of those cheapy jerseys and say, hey, Erik, would you, can you sign this for me, please? And when he says, you can have the nice one, tucked away. And then if he actually was to come over, you rip out the nice one and toss the shitty one. But when he says no, then you just turn around and ball it up. Well, then here, take your goddamn jersey and get the fuck out of here. it's one of those things where I can understand it. If a player comes out, if the team is playing that night and there's a line of 20, 30 people out there, I can understand where it's maybe I want to be focused or I have other things I need to deal with, blah, blah, blah. But when you come out of the locker or, of practice, and you're in shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops, you're clearly chilling. It's not game day. And in fact, even the next day isn't game day. 2 days from then is game day. And there's all of five people out there. One of them, clearly a parent, doesn't give two shits about your autograph, but their kids do. And you can't even be bothered to sign for some kids. You know what? Yeah. Take your ass back to your forever home. To be honest with you, I'm kind of done with this whole Karlsson thing.
What I will say, and I guess
Steve's saying maybe he had a haircut appointment.
Good luck with that. But what I will say though is that it's only been close to a year and a half since Karlsson's and his wife's pregnancy. That whole thing with Mike Hoffman.
What the hell does that have to do with San Jose, though?
I'm only saying that maybe he's not quite done dealing with what happened before what left with Ottawa. And
all that stuff would have happened, whether he would have went to Colorado or Calgary or whatever.
And I'm only saying that because it's great that Kane's there, but I'm wondering if his performance is kind of dipping because it's quite not there yet.
Oh, the Carlson's performance is dipping?
I know Kane's performance is not.
Oh, with that. No, that's the whole thing. Kane, I've had, I don't have any problems with it. I've seen him. So when he sees kids out there, I've seen him like he's at first, he sees a couple of adults and he's like a little trepidatious, but then he sees kids and then all of a sudden he walks out and signs stuff. I got no issue with Kane whatsoever. But there's a couple of guys that when they come out of there, Thornton's notorious for it. Vlasic's notorious for it. Sorensen, for some godforsaken reason, is known for like coming out of the practice with the phone glued to their ear, like they're on some important call that they can't be bothered for 30 seconds to sign, you know, a stick or a puck or a jersey from, you know, for some like 10-year-old who thinks that they're just, you know, that they walk on water. I'm sorry. I get it. Again, it's one of those things. If there was like 200 people out there, yeah, I get it. If there was 20, 25 people out there, sure. When there's like 3, 4, 5 people, especially when you look at like what Vegas draws to a practice and you're going to sit there and be uppity because 5 people want your autograph, get the hell out of here. And okay. Comment with the flu bug going around, perhaps they're keeping away from contact from others. Dude, I don't see people trying to shake their hand. They're just saying, here's a jersey. You don't have to touch me. I just like, if you could just take this pen. Okay. Well, okay. You know what? Eric, if that's the case, then fine. I'll hold up my jersey in one hand and a bottle of Purell in the other. Is that fine? Will that work? I don't know. I'm sorry. I know I went off on a tangent, but I see that. When I see kids out there, and you know, like they're, you know, they only get there when they get a day off. It's very rare because school's in session. And then I see shit like that. I'm just like, dude, really? Because there's other guys, you know, like you ask for a photo, you ask for an autograph, anything. They're like, absolutely, whatever you need. Like they're just the nicest guys. And then you see people like Erik Karlsson, and you're just like, dude, what's your problem? But whatever, you know, time is nigh for you to get the hell out of San Jose. Take your shitty groin and get out of here. I don't know. It's going to be real fun to watch what these playoffs are. It's going to be really fun because let's see the impact that Karlsson has, provided that he's able to play. He should be. But let's see how Jones is able to step up. I would love nothing more than after game 4, game 5, game 6, whoever the Sharks face, to sit here and like have to like eat my shirt going, oh my, you know what? The Sharks made me look like the biggest idiot on the planet because I had written these guys off, to be honest. You know, after losing to LA 3 weeks ago, I was just kind of like, nope, they're good. They, you know, because right now, I'm telling you, I don't think the Sharks go further than game 6 of round 1. I would love nothing more for the Sharks to prove me wrong.
And you're saying game 6, round 1 versus Vegas.
Yep.
I don't
just
know.
Just like last year. Just like last year. I mean, that was second round, but still.
I think they might push to 7. But the interesting thing is, do you think Erik Karlsson is going to play again in the regular season leading into the playoffs?
So what? And no?
Erik Karlsson, do you think he's going to play leading yes. into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think he'll play the final 3 games.
I think he's not going to play again until the playoffs. And I know that sounds risky, but
he's already taken some practices. So that's why I say that. I mean, we're talking 21st. And first game, April 2nd. So you're basically talking almost 2 more weeks. I think he'll play those final 3 games. At the very least, the final 2.
This is an injury he already re-injured, re-aggravated again.
Yep. Was surprised. I think he pushed it, you know.
Did he push it or was it the coach who pushed it?
Oh, I think he pushed it. Because if the player sits there and goes, you know what, I feel something, I'm not good. The coach or the, you know, the trainer's not going to go, oh, suck it up, buttercup. They're going to go, oh, shit. Okay, then stay off the ice. No, it's always the player on that. And, in fact, if I remember correctly, that was even mentioned that, you know, the, oh, Jesus Christ, here comes VGK, you know, swinging his dick. Yeah, dude, we get it. We're going to see you in the first round. Try not to act like this is like your first time. Come on, dude.
Come on down.
Have a little bit of class, my brother. Have a little bit of class.
I'm glad you're only two.
Have some class, bro.
God.
We already talked about it, man. I've already said it, VGK coverage. No. We're not going to ban him. He's for the most part, he's respectful. He's sarcastic like I am. He's a little bit of a shit talker. I don't have a problem with that as long as it's clever and as long as he doesn't go over the line. I'm more than fine with him. He extra salty AJ. Yeah, no, I'm a little salty. When you lose to the worst team in the West, you're going to be a little salty. But no. Welcome VGK. Until VGK goes over the line, he's more than welcome here. It's already fait accompli. VGK, I eat crow if I need to. Exactly. We've already talked about it since you just showed up that we're pretty much relegated to the fact that the Sharks will face Vegas in the first round. And at the way things are going, it could very likely be that Vegas will have the home ice advantage.
You know, I think it's going to turn out, if we're doing a preview of the series, the Sharks need to win the first game regardless. And I know that sounds
absolutely
the most cliche thing to say for sports media, but this is the type of series where if the Sharks don't win the first one, I could see a sweep happening pretty fast. And judging by the history of Jones in the playoffs, where he gives up 6 goals in one period at one point last season or last playoff season, I wish I was hallucinating, but not.
Well, and Matt in the chat trying to tell me the sky isn't falling. I don't know that I'm saying the sky is falling, because I would like to see this Sharks team play with everybody completely healthy. I want this team to be so healthy that Donskoy is a scratch. Okay? But we've lost a couple of key components, and I don't know that anybody is talking about how key the loss of Šimek has been.
See, I love Šimek's game. I think he fit in pretty well with Brent Burns and helped solidify the top six. But if it wasn't for Erik Karlsson not playing a single game, Šimek would not have been dressed. So,
I think it was Joakim Ryan was not impressing anybody, and Šimek got a look.
He got a look, but he played his.
Šimek played his way in.
He played his way in, and that's. I would love to go back to Donskoy, Timo, and Hurdle and see what happens with that line, because that was a really solid line in February.
And so what, you're going to put Kane and Couture with Pavelski?
Kane, Couture, Nyquist, see what happens with Nyquist on that line.
So you're going to put Pavelski with Thornton and Sorensen?
That I see as three solid lines, because I would love to get something on Nyquist.
See, that's the whole thing. I'm totally with you on that. That's why I think I would rather see Thornton with Nyquist and Sorensen. And Hurdle with Donskoy and Kane and Couture and Meyer and Pavelski, because we've seen those lines, or at least those pairs. We know PDB loves his pairs.
He does love pairs.
So all those pairs kind of key. It's like Thornton and Sorensen, Hurdle and Kane, Couture and Pavelski, or to a lesser extent, Couture and Meyer. So
everyone's saying Pavs, Hurdle, Meyer, but Hurdle's been a solid center when he's been tasked to do that. And I think you need three solid lines. So I think it's time to split them up and see what happens with Donskoy, Hurdle, and Meyer.
Boy, I don't know about that. I think that's something that you look at in the third period when you're down by a goal. I don't know that I started a game like that.
I would say try something out with the Ducks, but that's obviously not going to happen tomorrow.
No. You know what I'm looking for in the top line? I'm looking for Thornton in between Radil and Melker.
Just shoot me.
And with that, it's probably time. I said we were going to go like 20 minutes ago, so we should probably bail now. So for those of you watching, again, thank you very much for doing so. We go live after every single Sharks game. This is for fans, by fans, just trying to build this up because Lord knows coverage of the Sharks around here by the local media, not so great. So if you could do us a favor, hit the subscribe button down there. Help us out. Help us build the following. Follow us on a scratch Peter DeBoer next game. Wow. follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. All of them at Teal Town USA, if you would. Oh, but wait. I should have known. Oh, wait. We actually have some post-game audio from Brent. Oh, VGK throwing down a $1.99. Nice. Good all job. Right. We do have
good sports.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. We got some post-game audio from Brent Burns after the game. Yeah, he doesn't seem very happy. I'm just saying. But
the Wookiee win.
Yes, let him win. But I did, God damn it, I almost forgot.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
We have to have that courtesy. To reach it around. Oh, you watch how fast I do this. Okay.
All right, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, so...
it's wrap around.
Yeah.
I heard him.
I was going to say, me too. So the Desert Dogs lost to the Florida Panthers 4-2 down in Sunrise. Luongo getting the win. Camper getting the loss. Arizona, what are you doing to me, man? I'm rooting for you to sneak into the wild card, but just not enough tonight. Former Sharks legend getting the second goal. Mike Hoffman on the power play. Down in New Jersey, Boston 5-1 over the Devils. Tuca with the win. Schneider with the loss. Let me see. Bergeron picks up 2. Pasternak, yeah, good for them. Blah blah blah. The Lightning win again. Wow, what a fucking shock. Okay, 6-3 in Carolina. Yeah. Okay, whatever. I mean, really? Come on. Stop it. Get this crap out of my face, dude. Seriously, are you kidding me? All right. So, oh, dude, that is so throwing me off right now. All right, Deming picks up the win. McElhinney takes a loss. Blah blah blah. Hurricanes lose again. God, I really wish Carolina would come up with like something funny to do when they lose a game at home because the wins are great. I just wanted to come and see what the something was. Former Sharks legend Thomas Greiss. Oh, he gets shut out by the Canadians in Montreal. Carey Price picking up the win there. I hate it when Greiss does poorly because he has done spectacularly for the Islanders this season. I'm rooting for you, Tommy. Down in St. Louis, the Blues take down the Red Wings 5-2. Bernier with the loss, and Bennington can't stop Winnington picking up the win. God damn. Barbashev picking up a hat trick in this one. Good for you. Oh, down in Nashville, the Penguins pick up a 2-1 victory in the shootout versus the Predators. Murray with the win, Rene with the loss. Flyers, 3-1 victors over the Blackhawks in Chi-Town. Hart with the win, Crawford with the loss in that. Van Riemsdyk picking up your game winner. In Dallas, they fall 3-1 to the Colorado Avalanche. Grubauer with the win. Ben Bishop. Oh, we love it when we beat the Bishop, and so we did. And, of course, as Al mentioned earlier, the Flames were victorious in Calgary tonight, 5-1 over the Senators. Giordano, of course, it wouldn't be, freaking Giordano. Stop messing with my Norris winner, God damn it. Stop it. Just stop it. But the lone goal from the Ottawa Senators coming from former Sharks legend Dylan DeMello. In Edmonton, Alberta, the Oilers were victorious 4-1 over the Blue Jackets. What in the hell is going on with Columbus, man? I have no idea, but Tortorella's got to be losing his shit right now.
Hey, first round in bust.
Dude, like you go back a month ago, Blue Jackets were like just boom, 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 and doing really well. And like even like going, you know, they're swinging it going, yeah, man, we hope we get the Lightning in the first round. F those guys, blah, blah, blah. And now it's just kind of like, oh, shit, okay, leave us alone. So anyway.
I mean, like in terms of the Blue Jackets, I do appreciate that they actually went for it. They literally went for every trade option they could.
How much do you think that is just like the speculation around and the questioning around Bobrovsky?
I mean, yeah, Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky.
And then Pagan, who's also going to be gone this year. Oh,
Breadman?
Yeah.
Wait, oh, Panarin.
Panarin, yeah. Frankly, those two people, those are the cornerstones of their offense.
Yeah, I think they are so clouded in speculation, it might be just a little too hard for them to focus on hockey.
But also, the trade with Ottawa, going for another poison with... what's his name? Oh, fuck.
I like Jerry in the chat. Hey, Torts loses his shit when he's winning too, okay?
He does, yeah.
No, I like that. Let's go down to Vegas where the Golden Knights shut out the Winnipeg Jets. You know, Central leading Winnipeg Jets. Golden Knights, this is like, you know, what is this, like their 10th win in a row? Either way, they're
9-1.
They're continuing, yeah, the 9 out of the last 10. Malcolm Subban filling in for Flower spectacularly. William Karlsson, Wild Bill, picking up the first goal and the last goal in this one. I mean, how can you not be scared out of your bootstraps facing Wild Bill and the Golden Knights? And finally, the Sharks falling 4-2 to the Kings. Quick, the winner, Jones, taking the loss. So that's it. We've given you the reach around. I hope you found it satisfying. I hope it was good to you. So with that, Jesus Christ, we said we were going to like finish this like 40 minutes ago. So Al, where can the people find you on the social media channels?
You can find me on Twitter at Al Martinet, Free to Talk Hockey, Free to Talk Sports. Yeah. Let's hope we win sometime soon.
That would be nice. I am AJ underscore strong on all the social media channels. This is a tough one, guys. I'm not going to lie. When you lose to the worst in the West, kind of sticks in your craw just a little bit. Saving grace is, you know what? Quick 24 hours and you're back at it. And it's Friday. Halo weekend, finally. So we'll see you following Sharks Ducks tomorrow night down in the OC. Again. John throwing $5. Five for, as Laurel says, fastest reach around in the West.
You might want to check on that.
Oh, Laurel, was I too quick with you on Teal Town USA Day? Was I too much? So do us a favor, please, if you would. Hit the subscribe button. They keep moving it on me, but it's somewhere down there. It's not up there. It's down there. So if you would do it, share this with a friend, please. We would really appreciate it. Let the people know that we're here to talk Sharks hockey and hockey in general sometimes. And we do our weekly wrap-up show every Sunday now that the Sharks aren't playing Sunday anymore. That's it. Subscribe to the channel. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We would really appreciate it. Share it with a friend. And that's it. Thank you very much for tuning in. We will see you tomorrow following the Anaheim Ducks in the OC. So with that, we say, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real, teal. Drew Remenda, lead us out.
Hey, everybody. Drew Remenda here. You're listening to another podcast from Teal Town, USA.
Suck it, Ducks.